Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
I heard about this game, and I thought about playing it this morning, but I'm going to give you a reprieve. But I heard about this game that is played at a lot of different ladies' events when ladies get together. There's this game that's called a handbag scavenger hunt. You ever heard of that? It's where you have this list of things, and the way you win is you have to find all these things in a lady's purse. And I begin to read the rules and what the things they look for. It's amazing what you ladies carry in your purse. I mean, I've seen things like, I'm not sure if I should say these things from the pulpit, but I've heard of things like USB drives and pantyhose and lipstick and phone charger. I've heard of snacks and coffee cups and, you know, baby wipes. And I can just tell you some of that stuff. I understand why you carry that all the time. But the success of that game is based on not the amount of things you don't have. The way you win that game is by the unexpected things you do have. This morning I want to preach a message simply entitled, What You Do Have. You know, as a church, we have a vision for this year. I just said it to you because people matter to God. We want to be a catalyst of spiritual transformation here in Cabot and around the world. And sometimes I say that, and I fear that you believe, you may mistakenly believe, maybe I mistakenly communicate, that our vision for 2019 just revolves around the puzzle pieces we celebrate, which we're going to keep celebrating, because every one of those dollars you give to Vision 2019 in some form or fashion is going to represent ministry, which represents people's lives being changed. But I don't want you to mistake or get the concept that our Vision 2019 is only about money, because if you're getting that through your head this morning, you're getting the wrong thing. I believe that God wants you to be a catalyst of spiritual transformation where you are. God wants to use you in your workplace, in the marketplace, in the schoolhouse, wherever it is that your life takes you, every day of your life, God can use you to transform the life of someone else. And as I say that, some of you are thinking in your mind right now, well, Pastor, you don't understand. I don't have the ability to communicate like someone else does. I don't have the personality like someone else does. I'm not as spiritual as someone else who has done great things for God. But I want you to get this one thought through your mind this morning. What God wants to do through your life is not based on what you don't have. What God wants to do through your life is based on what you do have through the life you have for Jesus Christ. So it's not about what you don't have. It's about what you do have. You can spend all your life in defeat because of things you don't have, or you can live your life in victory regarding what you do have through Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's be people that live according to what we do have and not people that live according to what we don't have. Amen? And we're going to look at Acts chapter 3, very familiar passage of scripture to you, but read along with me. It'll be on the screen. Acts chapter 3. Let me take a time out. Can I take a time out? I'm going to take it anyway. Next Sunday, we're starting a new series called Words to Live By. I know this is summertime. School is out. People are coming and going, and you may have to miss a Sunday or two this summer to go on vacation. We want you to do that. I'm praying I get to do that at least once before the year's over. Go out, spend some time with your family. But starting next week, we're starting a series called Words to Live By. And we're going to start something next Sunday. We're going to start reading the Word of God together. Okay? And so you're going to be able to do that on the Bible app. We'll tell you where to find it, how to do that on your phone. And so even if you miss a Sunday, you can still stay in touch with what we're reading and what we're learning together, church family, all summer long. So even if you have to miss next Sunday, make sure you get on the podcast, get on the webpage, connect with us somehow on Facebook, figure out how to get involved on the first step as we launch Words to Live By next Sunday. A little extra commercial for you. But here we go. Acts chapter 3, living by what you do have. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from people that were going into the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Listen to verse number 4. Peter and John looked intently at him. And Peter said, "Look at us." The man looked at them eagerly expecting money, but Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you. Peter could have just lived. This story could have been different if Peter decided to live his life by what he doesn't have. But he didn't stop there. He said, I don't have any silver or gold for you. Listen to this. But I give you what I have. What I do have, I'll give you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking and leaping and praising God, he went into the temple with them. And the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. And when they realized it was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. Let's pray. Father, help us live lives that are based on what we do have in you, not on the awareness or the knowledge of what we don't have compared to others. So God, I pray that today, in the next minutes of time, that you'll speak to our hearts by your Holy Spirit. I pray you'll anoint me above my own ability to speak the words of God, the words of God alone, so that we can respond according to what your Spirit says to us in the next minutes of time. And we'll give you thanks for that. And everybody in the room said amen. Amen. So this lame man had been sitting by the temple gate regularly. It was not like this was not a one-time event. This was not a once in a while thing. This guy had been sitting there regularly, and I just assume since Peter and John were spiritual guys, they had probably been to pray more than one time at this same time. So this was a guy who sat by the gate very often praying, or not praying, but hoping that someone would be generous to us, to him. It would be very much like there. How many of there's certain intersections around our town, especially around if you get in a bigger city like Little Rock or North Little Rock? How many of there's certain intersections you just expect to see people there begging on the side of the road, right? You've seen that, and I know you're more spiritual than I am, but sometimes when I see those people begging, sometimes in the back of my head I wonder, do they really need what they say they need? I mean, are they really in the shape that they say they're? I know you're. I can tell you're just mesmerized by the fact that I would think that way because you're so spiritual. You would never think that way. And occasionally, I get so bad that sometimes I even avoid eye contact with those people because I'm just so cynical at times. I know you would never do that. I'm sure Peter and John would never do that. But they walked by this guy multiple times, and as far as we know, they've never reached out to help him before. They've never reached out to talk to him before. They've never reached out to give to him before. Maybe they have, maybe they haven't. But this time when they see this man sitting by this gate on their way to worship, instead of passing him by, they sense that in their heart, in their spirit, somehow when Peter saw this guy, he knew that this time this is different. God wants to use me to make a difference. And Peter knows that what he has in himself is not enough. Here's what I want us to get this one. Here's one of the big points. If we live our lives by the limitation of what we don't have, we're going to walk right past a lot of opportunities where God wants to use us. And there's some of us in the room, you're thinking, man, I don't have time to help. I don't have enough money to give. I don't have the ability to help in any way. And if you're not careful, what you don't have, you can let what you don't have ostracize you or keep you from doing anything for the Lord. But I want you to know this morning, God wants to use us to do things that are bigger than us. God wants us to be used in helping in situations that in ourselves we can't help a person. That's why my sermon in a sense this morning is simply this, that what you do have is always greater than what you don't have when it comes from the Lord. So we can live our lives not based or defined by what we have, but rather we need to understand what we don't have, but we can live our lives defined by what we do have through Christ. So how can I live? How can I be that catalyst of spiritual transformation? How can I make a difference when I don't feel like I have the ability? How can I serve when I feel like I'm not qualified to serve? How can I give when I don't feel like I have enough to give? How can I make time when I feel like I don't have enough time? How can God use me when I feel like what I have isn't enough? Well, here's a few things I think can help us this morning. Number one, realize that you are on a crash course with situations, people, and needs that are bigger than you are. Have you noticed that you don't have to go out looking for something or some problem that's bigger than you? Have you noticed they just find their way to you? You know, sometimes life can be going great. We feel like everything is smooth sailing. And all of a sudden we get a phone call from a doctor or a banker or a friend or even a stranger. And all of a sudden our life that was going so well isn't going so well anymore, because with one phone call we came in contact with something that is bigger than who we are. And here's what I want you to know this morning. It's not so much that we've got to be concerned about what comes our way. What we got to be concerned about is how are we going to respond to what comes our way. See, Peter could have just said the first half of that quote. He could have just said, hey, look at me. I don't have the ability to help you. But I want to ask you this question this morning. When problems come your way, whether they're personally or the problem comes to you through someone else's life, are you going to respond by what you don't have? Are you going to respond by what you do have? Peter said, silver and gold, I don't have. He could have stopped right there. He could have used that as an excuse to walk away. But he didn't say that. He didn't do that. He said, but what I do have, I give to you. Too many of us stop. Too many of us limit what God wants to do through us, because when we see a need, when we come face to face with a situation in our life or the life of someone else, we simply look at it, we examine it, we analyze it, and we simply say, I don't have it. And we don't do what Peter did. We don't say, but what I do have, in the name of the Lord, I give to you. You know, when I look through Scripture, I see God using people whose first response was this: Lord, I don't have it. I don't have enough. I don't have enough skills. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough talent. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough resources. I don't come from the right family. And if you think about Moses, when the Lord came to Moses and said, Moses, I want you to lead my people out of Egypt. The first thing that Moses said was he began to tell the Lord, Lord, I don't have the goods. I don't have the ability. He said, Lord, I cannot even speak without stuttering. You know, in the New Testament, there was a day when Jesus was preaching to the crowds. The Bible says about 5,000 men had gathered to hear him preach or teach. And he noticed that they were all hungry. So he turned to the disciples and he said, hey, guys, let's give them something to eat. And all of a sudden, they began to tell Jesus what they didn't have. They said, Lord, we don't have enough money to feed these folks. And Lord, not only do we not have enough money, if we did have enough money, there's not a place we could buy enough food for them. And Jesus didn't listen to their long list of excuses of what they didn't have. He just simply turned right around and asked them one question. He said, well, what do you have? And they said, well, we got a few fish and a little bit of bread. See, here's the thing. If we live our whole life by defining each situation by what we don't have, we're going to become blind to what we do have. And what you do have is always enough for God to do a miracle that's greater than what you don't have. And you know, Jesus took what they did have, the little bit of fish and the little bit of bread, and he multiplied, he prayed over, and the disciples began to pass out what they didn't have, the people that they thought they couldn't feed. And when they got done giving out what they didn't have, they took up 12 baskets of stuff they didn't have to start with, right? What you have is always greater than what you don't have, when what you have is Jesus. Amen? So don't live your life according to what you don't have. Understand it's easy to live that way. Secondly, leads me to this point. Point number two is live according to what you do have. The lame man looked at them on them expecting, but Peter said, verse number 6, silver and gold I don't have, but I'll give you what I have. Listen, when you face an impossible situation, make sure you don't assess the situation only with what you don't have or what you can't do. Sometimes, I think all of us need a crash course in what we do have in Christ. Sometimes I think we need a lesson. We need to remember that in Christ, you know, the Bible says we can do all things through him who strengthens us. That in Jesus, we are sons and daughters of the King. We are co-heirs with Christ. In Him, we are people of promise who can possess every promise of God. Through Christ, we are the apple of God's eye. We are the object of God's affection. We have more in Him than we could ever imagine. He is able to do abundantly above all we could ask, think, or imagine in our wildest imagination through Christ. But so many times we live our lives according to what we don't have instead of what we do have in Jesus. You know, sometimes if you live according to what you don't have, matter of fact, I would say it this way. Living according to what you don't have is called living by facts. Facts tell us what we don't have. The fact is, I don't have the ability to heal anyone. The fact is, I don't have enough money to tithe or to give to missions. The fact is, I don't have the smarts or the influence to lead a life group or a ministry. The fact is, I don't have enough margin in my time to serve somewhere. But here's the deal. God has not called us to live by the facts alone. God has called us to live by what? By faith. The Bible says that Abraham faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. But yet he did not waver through the word of God. He knew that his human body was not able to produce children. He knew his wife was not able to produce children. But he didn't stop. He didn't let the possibility of what God could do through him stop because of what he didn't have. He kept believing God because he did have faith in him. And the Bible says what? Without faith, it's pretty hard to please God. No, it's impossible to please God. You know, one day we're going to stand before God and we're going to give an account, not for what we don't have, but we're going to give an account for what we did with what we do have. I want to say that again because I know it's a pretty sobering statement, but we all need to hear it this morning. We're going to stand before God. And he's not going to ask you what you did with what you didn't have. He's going to ask you, what did you do with what you did have? What did you do with the opportunity I gave you? What did you do with the 5 minutes you have with that person? What did you do with the little bit of resources you did have? I'm not talking about the millions of dollars you didn't have. What did you do with the little bit you did have? So we're going to live life by what we do have. I was reminded this past week, several years ago, I was in Branson playing golf at this place called Top of the Rock. You may have seen it. It was on television a few years ago. The senior people play there, and I was there playing a round of golf, and I was on the driving range getting ready, and we played our golf. No big deal. But the next day, I was watching the news, and that very spot where I had been on the driving range hitting balls the day before, a big sinkhole had opened up and swallowed up a whole pond in that part of the driving range where I had been standing just 24 hours earlier. You talk about something getting your attention. I was like, wow, that could be me. I could be at the bottom of there. And I saw that thing on television, and my immediate thought was this. It's going to take hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, for them to fill that big hole up just so they could have their nice pond back and their driving range back. But I drove by there later, and instead of filling in the hole, you know what they've done? Now they charge people to take a golf cart ride through their hole. I thought, someone is a genius. Instead of saying, look what we don't have our beautiful pond, we don't have our beautiful driving range going out this, what they said is now we do have an opportunity to charge people to drive through this giant hole. Man, it's amazing the fine line between genius and crazy. I would have never been crazy enough to think we could just charge people to come drive through this big hole. And guess what? People pay it. I'm just saying, if you live your whole life according to what you don't have or according to what you've lost, you're going to miss the gift of the opportunity and the gift of the people you can touch, what you do have today. But it takes us, number three this morning, to be willing to act in faith. Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I do have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk. Listen to verse number seven. Then Peter took the lame man by the hand, by the right hand, and helped him up. Living according to what you do have. A lot of people live according to what they don't have. And I understand why. Here's why many of us would love to settle for living life according to what we don't have. Because living life according to what we do have is riskier. Living life according to what we do have is scarier. It takes a little bit of faith. It takes a little bit of takes a whole lot of getting out of your comfort zone. Peter reaches out his hand and he helps this guy up. And in this moment, I don't know what John was thinking when he was sitting there watching Peter do this. If I'd been there, I would have been thinking something like this. Peter, you're about to be a hero or a zero. Or this is going to be really great, or this is going to be, oops, you know? Peter, but he reaches out his hand. He takes a step of faith. We're going to use what we have and not be imprisoned by what we don't have. We've got to be willing to take steps of faith. And some of you think, well, Pastor, what if I pray for someone and they don't get healed? Let me tell you something. It's possible. Pastor, what if I pray for 10,000 people and 10,000 people don't get healed? Well, at least 10,000 people would know you love them enough to pray for them. And here's the thing. God can't answer the prayers we don't pray. And I could preach a whole message to you while God answers certain prayers in certain ways. We know that God's grace is at work. His sovereignty is at work. His power is at work. Sometimes when he answers prayers, sometimes when he delays the answer, sometimes when he answers completely different, when we're asking, God's grace is at work and all of that. But we got to be willing to take a risk and function with what we do have. Whether that's saying a prayer for someone, giving an encouraging word to someone, giving of our finances to someone, it's all possible that you're going to do that and see or not see the result that God told you that you want to see. The question is not do we receive the results we want to see. The question is, are we doing the thing that God tells us to do? I feel like I need to say that again. The question is not, are we seeing the results we want to see? The question is, are we doing the things that God wants us to do? Peter reached down and grabbed this guy by the hand because I'm convinced the Holy Spirit told him in that moment, I want to heal this person. Listen, the biggest regrets in your life and my life will be the opportunities we had to do something for God that we didn't take. So let's take them. Listen, minimize regret by listening to the voice of God. I remember several years ago, we were having this revival in our church and this lady came in about the second or third night. She came into our church in a wheelchair. And she came for the one purpose of she was wanting God to heal her. So she didn't have to live the rest of her life in a wheelchair. And so the evangelist I was preaching began to go over. He began to pray for her. And I was praying in agreement with her. I was like, yeah. He began, Lord, we're going to trust you to raise this woman up out of her wheelchair. And I'm in the background. I was like, yes, hallelujah. And we believe that you can do this. And I'm saying, yes. And then he turned to me and said, Pastor Greg, why don't you take her by the hand and pick her up out of that wheelchair? And me being the great man of faith, inside I was thinking, why don't you pick her up? Don't look at me in that tone of voice. But, you know, I was too spiritual to let him know I had any doubt in my mind at all. And so I began to pray harder. I mean, I grabbed her hand. I'm like, oh, dear Lord, help us. And amazingly to me, I mean, I'm the most amazed person. She stands up. And then I'm just being brutal honesty. And then I'm thinking, praise God, she stood up. Now let's let her sit back down before she falls. But the guy who was with her, he said, Pastor, why don't you walk her, help her, but walk her across the front of the room. And so I, hanging on very tightly, begin to walk her. And we get about for step number three. I'm like, oh, thank God, she's walked three steps. Now let her sit back down. But the more every step we take, I noticed she was leaning less on me and walking more on herself. And I can tell you that wheelchair she walked in on is still in the closet at First Assembly in Camden, Arkansas this morning. Not because of what I had or what anyone had, but even though we didn't have the ability, God had the ability. And we said, Lord, we're not going to limit us to what by what we don't have. We're going to let you do what you want to do in someone's life. Amen? God can do it. I don't know why Jesus uses people as instruments of miracles, but he does. And I believe, I'm convinced 100% that God wants to use you. And he wants to use me. But it's not based on who I am or who you are or what you don't have. It's based on the power of what we do have through him. Now puts a huge demand on all of us to try to listen to the Holy Spirit all the time. I mean, Peter was not going to the temple to heal somebody. He was going to the temple to pray. But on his way to pray, he heard the voice of God tell him to do something. And he didn't know the results. He just knew what he was told. There's a lady in 2 Kings chapter 4 who came to Elisha. And she said, "Lord, my servant, or my husband, your servant is dead. And you know how you fear the Lord. And now his creditor is coming to take from me my son. And I don't have any way to pay him." And Elisha said, "How can I help you?" He said, "Tell me what you have in your house." And she said, "Lord, your servant has nothing. I don't have anything except a jar of oil." And Elisha said, "Good. Go borrow as many containers as you can and start to fill them up with that bottle of oil." You know the story. Sons went and got as many containers as they can find, and they began to pour oil in those containers. And the Bible says the oil didn't stop flowing until they ran out of containers. And Elisha told her, "Go and sell what you have and live off the rest." God provided a miracle for them, not because of what they had, or not because of what they didn't have, but despite what they didn't have, he used what they had. I want to tell you today, in this room, in every life, in every person that's sitting in a chair this morning or watching online or listening to my podcast, you have enough for God to work a miracle through you. Why are you serving God today? We would all answer that differently. I'm serving God because he gave me hope I didn't have. I'm serving God because he gave me joy I didn't have. I'm serving God because he separated me from my sins. As far as the past is from the east is from the west, that's how far he separated me from my past and gave me a new life. Some of you are serving God because God did show up like he did in this story and did a physical miracle in your life. Listen, I cannot tell you how God will use you. I can just tell you that if you will get out of your own way and out of God's way and say, "Lord, despite what I don't have, you can use what I do have for your glory." God will work through you. And Megan, if you want to come, leads me to point number 4. Remember that God desires to do astounding things through what you do have. Verse number 11 says, "They all ran out in amazement when they saw that the man they'd always seen broken down and crippled is now walking around and shouting." Did you know the world notices when we allow him to use what we do have? The world takes notice. I've discovered that the list of what I don't have is always longer than the list of what I do have. We could spend the rest of the hour talking about things I don't have. I've as a church, it's very easy for a church to get distracted, depressed, sidelined, depressed over what we don't have. Well, we don't have this ministry, or don't have that location, or don't have this type of building, or don't have that type of light, or this kind of people attending our church. Can I tell you, God is not concerned about what we don't have. He's concerned about us saying, "Lord, this is what I do have. And you, Lord, you can just use it." I wonder this morning if we could just take our eyes off of what we don't have and just lift our hands and say, "Lord, what I do have, use." Would you join me all across this room this morning? Would you just join me by standing and lift up your hearts and your hands today, and Lord, say, "Lord, whatever I do have, you can use. Lord, forgive me of limiting my life and limiting what you want to do through me because of what I don't have. Lord, use what I do have. Lord, whether it's great are small in the eyes of people or in my own eyes. Lord, use what I do have for your glory. Come on, all across this room, would you just begin to give God permission to use what you do have? Listen, stop disqualifying yourself. Stop writing yourself off. Stop giving excuses for why God can't use you or won't use. What you need to remember is that God is concerned about using what you do have. God can use what you do have to be more than enough. What you do have in Christ is much greater than what you don't have in yourself. So Lord, use us fresh and new. Use what we do have for your glory.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.